designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first and third Saturdays of every month.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, and I'm Felicia King. Well, after the reasonably intense show from last time, I thought I would do a lighter topic for you. And so I have two major things today. One is about the tools that should be in every IT department's toolbox, or if you just happen to have maybe an intense home infrastructure, you may also want to have these tools in hand. Many of them are multi-purpose and not too expensive. And then the other topic is going to be about the methodologies and benefits of keeping your systems up to date with regards to hardware, firmware, hardware drivers, and then software updates. And so we're going to talk about how do you do that, and then what sort of problems exhibit themselves as when those updates need to be applied. So what this is going to do for you is say, well, my system is behaving in this particular way, that should trigger me to go and check for these hardware and software updates and make sure that they're installed. So let's get started. So the first topic is this whole idea of if you are an IT manager, even of a small organization, there is a certain set of tools that you really should have. So the first piece of equipment is a little $29 part called a Triplight Keyspan. And what this is for is console access to pretty much any piece of network equipment out there. So there's network equipment such as switches, in some cases perimeter security appliances, and a lot of other things that have a console connection. So when you buy a switch these days, it's usually going to come with a console cable, and all of these console cables translate back to what's called a DB9 serial connector. Now, it's really been a very, very, very long time since any laptop or PC was manufactured with a DB9 serial connector on it. So what this means is you have to have a piece of equipment that translates the USB connection on your computer to that DB9 serial connection so that you can plug your keyspan and this console cable together and then to be able to communicate effectively with your network equipment in a console fashion. Now, in a lot of cases, you're going to say, well, I can just manage it over the network. And that's true. And that's what's called out-of-band management, is when you can connect to a web UI over IP, or you can connect over IP via Telnet or SSH, something like that, with a tool called PuTTY. On the other hand, in-band management, so not out-of-band, but in-band management, is console access. And to make that console access work, you have to have that console cable. And as I said, in the majority of cases nowadays, any sort of more sophisticated equipment is really going to require you to have that. And it's just a handy thing to have anyways, just in case the configuration in your network equipment gets messed up to the point where, well, the out-of-band management doesn't work. So for the $29 that a Triplight Keyspan is, then I would definitely get one. All right, so the next thing that I would say should be in the IT manager toolbox is a Fluke micro scanner, cable verifier, and tracer. And this, you really want to get this in a kit. So the kit is going to come with a tone probe and a tone generator, and it's going to come with the cable verifier. It'll also calculate cable lengths for you. Cable verification means things like cable mapping to find out, is the cable from a physical wiring standpoint in a good state? Now, this is not the same thing as what's called a LAN CAT tester, which is typically a $15,000 piece of equipment. So notice I'm not recommending a LAN CAT tester. So if you're really trying to find out what is the quality of the signal that is going across that cable, well, then you're into the $15,000 piece of equipment. sort of arena, and unless you are a professional cabling contractor, that really just doesn't become viable. So for everyone else, what is viable is to get the micro scanner kit that comes with a hard case. It has 6 connectors with it that will verify both RG6 coax as well as anything that's an RJ45 connector. So that's going to be any sort of copper Ethernet. And you can plug those in to a patch panel, or you can plug them into wall jacks, and then you can use other pieces of the kit to find out that, oh, well, this patch panel jack that says 7, well, that's really not the same as wall jack number 7. So if you're trying to do cable map stuff where you're trying to figure out your, because maybe your cabling when it was installed by whoever installed it wasn't, they didn't do a good job of really labeling it effectively, which is what you're going to find in 98% of the cases out there. Then you need to go through that process of figuring out where those cables go and literally correct the labeling yourself. So this sort of a kit is very important. It'll also help you identify if a network cable is good or bad, at least from a perspective of a physical connectivity standpoint. Okay, and they do make a fiber optic testing kit as well. And if you have a lot of fiber optic cabling in your infrastructure, you should definitely get that fiber kit as well. Now, I did mention about label making. Well, label making is a tremendous deal in IT because you need to have labels basically on every piece of equipment that you have, whether it be a switch or a server, a phone system, perimeter security appliance, basically anything that you have should be labeled, and it needs to be inventoried, and then that needs to be in a master IT management network spreadsheet or a network architecture plan or, you know, whatever your inventory system is. And usually I use 2 different spreadsheets, one for the server infrastructure and then one for the network infrastructure. Now, you can't just go and get any old label maker. This is not going to work for you. You need to have a label maker that is specifically designed for the things that IT uses. So if you've got a bunch of cables that are strung along in your data center or your little network closet, then you need to be able to have a label maker that is going to be able to make labels in a wrap configuration, meaning that they will wrap around those cables so you can individually label those wires. And the label media itself needs to have the correct type of material as well as adhesive such that this will work. So if you have some other label maker that isn't designed to do this, or if you're utilizing label media that isn't designed to do this, you're just really frankly going to be wasting your time because those labels are not going to work and they're going to come off or they're going to tear and they're not going to be resilient, right? So what I'm suggesting is as I think you all know, Dymo is a company that makes a phenomenal set of label making products. Well, they have a product called Rhino. Yes, like the rhinoceros. And so it's called Rhino, and they're kit that I really like, my favorite kit, is the 5200. It is not overly complicated, and it gets the job done, and it's only like $135. So, I mean, it's not expensive. And really, for $135, you might just happen to want to have one of these really sweet label makers for your house, just to keep your house organized. You know, not even IT stuff, but just labeling, you know, boxes and, you know, toolboxes and drawers and whatever else you think you need to label. And so with regards to the label media, then the label media that you should get is vinyl, nylon, or permanent poly. And one of the things that Dymo does a great job of is they give you some indications on their website about the type of label media that's going to work really well for various types of functions. And I can just tell you straight up right now that the vinyl labels are very good. The adhesive on them is very good. They stay where you put them. They are heat resistant. So that means that the adhesive works even in kind of hot situations. And they're very, very permanent in that I've not had an experience where a cable label has had the impression that's on the label scratched off or damaged. I mean, it continues to be permanent. You know, it's very readable. Now, the other thing to consider is color of your label media. Do you want an orange background, a red background, a yellow background, a white background? These sorts of things you should think about. I strongly suggest you really focus on the brighter colors that are going to give you a lot of good contrast between the black text and the background. So I like yellow and orange a lot, although there are circumstances where the red is really appropriate. So give that some thought. All right, so that's really the IT manager's toolbox that you can see is also rather applicable to what you might have in your own home, because maybe you say, hey, that sounds like a totally awesome label maker, and you would be correct. In fact, my sister got one of those label makers, and she's used it to organize her whole house, and she's quite pleased with that, and she has nothing to do with IT. So you might like it just for that purpose alone. All right, so let's move on to this topic of keeping your systems up to date with regards to hardware drivers and hardware firmware updates. Now, recently I've been running into a lot of circumstances where folks that I don't do patch management services for have been encountering issues. And every single time I look at it, these issues are corrected by just simply installing the updates that should have been installed, you know, prior, at some point in time prior, whether it was a long time ago or in a short time ago. So let's talk about this process so that you can take care of your systems yourself. Now, first off, if you're paying somebody for patch management services, they're going to be doing this for you. So if that is the context, then, you know, don't worry about that. Although if you have kind of a mix of devices, maybe you have a tablet or something like that, or you have an unmanaged laptop, then you would want to know this process so you can do that on that device yourself. Okay. Now, it's important to note that in most cases, firmware and driver updates do not come through Microsoft Update / Windows Update. Does not. And so if you think you're going to get it that way, then that's really that's a mistake in thinking. The exception to that would be if you did actually have a Microsoft Surface device, then since that is a Microsoft device, then your firmware updates and drivers will actually come through Microsoft Update. But that is absolutely the exception. Now, let's say you have a Dell laptop or workstation. In that case, you go and get Dell Command Update. And the best way to do that is you go to dell.com/support. You put in the support section, the service tag of your device, and then you go down to the area where it's talking about systems management. And under systems management, you will see an option for Dell Command Update. And so you just install Dell Command Update and you ask it to automatically do stuff, and you have it search for updates that are required. And if it finds updates, then you install those updates. It's actually pretty simple. And you should do that at least 4 times a year, I would say. Now, some of these updates are going to be BIOS updates or other types of firmware. Now, you can't typically install those unless two conditions are met. Number one, you actually have to have AC power into the device. So if it's a laptop, if you're running on battery, it's probably not going to install those updates. So just plug in your power adapter before you try this. The other thing is if you're using a hard drive encryption tool set, such as BitLocker, you may need to temporarily suspend the encryption so that it will allow the BIOS update or the firmware update to be installed. So just be aware of that as well. And that really is as simple as going into the control panel and requesting BitLocker to suspend. Notice that's not the same thing as disable, but it is suspend. And of course, before you do any of this stuff, I always suggest do your proper backups, obviously, and then have a plan in place as to who you're going to call if anything gets jacked up. So, with regards to servers, this is a completely different animal. Doing firmware and driver updates on a server needs to be done in a particular order. So if we take a Dell server as an example, again, because it's always a good example to use, there is a product called OpenManage Server Administrator, which you can install on the host operating system. So let's say that's a Windows Server operating system. And that will allow you to interact with the hardware in that server. So for example, it will tell you the firmware version in the lifecycle controller, or it'll tell you the firmware version on the RAID controller. It will tell you the driver version for the RAID controller and the iDRAC updates and things like that. And so that gives you really good opportunity to go to dell.com/support and then take a look through the current versions that are available versus what you have installed. Another way you can get that information typically is going to be through the iDRAC Enterprise. And I am going to assume that you have an iDRAC Enterprise in your Dell server, because it would be crazy to buy any server without full hardware level remote control capabilities. So in the case of a Dell server, that's going to be iDRAC Enterprise, and no iDRAC Basic is not going to get the job done. So you need to use some tool in order to do some interrogation. Now, the other approach you could take is you can download and install DSET. So that's DSET, DSET. I believe the current version is 3.7.0 right now. And when you install DSET, you can run DSET, do an advanced DSET, and then upload that to Dell Pro Support, and then work with them to get some guidance on what updates do you need to apply to your system, as well as what order to install them in. And of course, same rule applies, which is that do all your backups and make sure you have a plan and who you're going to call if the whole thing goes badly, but then do the updates in the prescribed order and style that Dell Pro Support for your server recommends. There is another approach you can take to get a bulk of those updates installed, although it's not going to do everything for you, and you need to be aware of that limitation. There is a way you can boot into what's called the lifecycle controller, which is F10 on boot on the server, and it, assuming that your network configuration supports this, and assuming that you have configured the lifecycle controller properly, it will then go out to ftp.dell.com and it will run an interrogation inventory, and it will tell you what updates are needed and give you the opportunity to check or uncheck boxes that say, yes, I want to install these updates, or no, I don't. And I mean, really, obviously, you would want to install all the updates. And then it will do it, and it may actually reboot the server several times on your behalf, and eventually it will bring it back up into the lifecycle controller and show you, oh, well, there's no more updates, so what would you like to do? You click exit, and the server reboots, and then you're back in business. I have noticed, though, that that methodology does not install what is called firmware updates for the hard drives themselves, which is absolutely crucial that you stay on top of those hardware firmware updates for the hard drives themselves. I have noticed issues even with compatibility between hard drives and the way that they're behaving with a RAID controller when that is not kept up to date. So now let's get onto this topic of how do you know that something's messed up? well, you know, you're going to see error messages or things are performing badly. And oftentimes you'll find that it's very difficult, especially in server environments, to hone in on exactly what's going on that's causing the problem. Error messages are oftentimes very misleading, and due to the complexity of things like Active Directory or Exchange or network infrastructure or server operating system configurations, due to the complexity, it can be almost impossible to hone in on what the exact problem is in some cases. In some cases it's easy, but in a lot of cases it's just very difficult. So the approach that I've recommended to everybody, and certainly the approach that I follow myself, which I can tell you works in almost 100% of the cases, is simply you identify, okay, I've got a problem with Active Directory. So you first have to absolutely identify what the heck the problem is associated with. Yes, okay, but then there's what, 1,000 subcomponents to Active Directory? So then you start baselining. So it's this approach of baselining whatever the thing is that you've identified as the general overall context of the problem. So if you've identified, okay, we've got a problem in our email infrastructure, well, sure, you can spend some time trying to figure out what specifically it is that you think it's associated with. Is it a mail connector? Is it the relay? Is it what? But if you can't, right, if you can't hone in on that, then your next approach is going to be you need to baseline the entire Exchange environment, which also means you're going to baseline your network and you're going to baseline Active Directory. And I can tell you that in 22 years of me doing this and working with hundreds of companies, this approach works with almost 100% certainty. Now, those kind of edge cases, you baseline it, and what ends up happening is you get down to a point where you say, boy, you know, we know that the configuration is correct. And so we shouldn't be having these errors or these issues anymore. So at that point in time, the conclusion that you get to is that the server is just jaggered up. Okay? It is just messed up in some form. So usually in the case of a domain controller, you need to go build a new domain controller. But if you're going to build a domain controller, don't waste your time building a domain controller with an old version of the operating system. So in today's case, you may say, oh, well, I've got licensing for Server 2012, and I'm going to tell you, well, that's a complete waste of your time. The software for the operating system is not that expensive, so just get off your duff and go get the software licensing for the latest version of Server, because obviously the latest version of Server is actually going to last longer. It's also going to have less issues and more functionality. So, you know, don't discount the fact that the problems that you might be having have something to do with the fact of the version of the software that you're using, which is oftentimes the case. So go build a new domain controller. Then you actually have to migrate your domain controller functions to the new domain controller, and then you have to decommission the old domain controller, and of course, rebaselining. And then, literally, I'm going to tell you that in 100% of cases that you try that method, the problems go away. Absolutely. They always go away. Because baselining and upgrading work as a technique, they just work. So now let's talk about a same sort of thing happening in Exchange. You can sit there and spend a bunch of time trying to fix an Exchange server, and there's a point in time when you need to just call it and say, look, we spent 8 hours on this, we spent 10 hours on this, whatever. We know it's fully baselined. The thing is just misbehaving at this point. You're now at the point where spending any more time on this old server is just going to be diminishing returns. So what's the solution? The solution is you go build a new server with a new version of the operating system, right? Don't waste your time with an old version of the operating system, and then go get a new version of Exchange, build that server, set it up correctly, baseline it, and then migrate your mailboxes from the old Exchange server to the new Exchange server. And yes, in 100% of cases that you do that, yes, it fixes the underlying problems. You, of course, have to decommission the old Exchange server. So it's this whole theme song of update, make sure you're all updated, baseline, right? Baseline everything. And then if you're still having issues, then you need to build new, migrate your functions to the new thing, decommission the old thing, and magically problems go away, right? So same thing applies with regards to, oh, let's say some recent problems I've seen is servers with performance issues. Now, performance issues are really just a beast to try to identify because the error messages, again, are oftentimes quite meaningless. So go contact your hardware vendor, get all the firmware updates and driver updates installed, patch the operating system, patch every single application that's installed on that server. So if you've got Diskkeeper 15, well, go get Diskkeeper 16 and install it. You know, stop using the old versions of software. You will end up wasting so much of your time simply by using old versions of software or old versions of the operating system. You waste your time and you incur a lot of problems. I see a lot of IT managers that's the problem. They think they're saving money by like, well, I don't want to buy the new software. Yes, you do. Because when you buy the new software, when you stay up to date with what the new software version is, your problems magically go away. And the least expensive thing is always going to be the hardware and software, not labor. Labor is always going to be the most expensive component of any solution. So until you are using the latest version of the software or the latest version of all of the patches and you've got all that installed, then really sitting around and troubleshooting issues is just frankly a waste of time. And you have to stay up to date. I have worked with a lot of companies over the years that just don't maintain things because they don't understand how or why they need to do so. And they'll get on a 7 or a 10 year cycle where they've got 10 years of deferred maintenance, and then blammo, you're looking at $100,000 to fix the whole thing in 1 year because it was just so out of control and nothing had been done for a decade. So you just can't take that approach. What you need to do is look at everything in your infrastructure and just keep it up to date. You know, install the new firmware versions on your switches. Upgrade your business line applications at least once every 6 months. Just stay up to date on this stuff, and you'd be surprised how many problems just go away. So this server I was working on recently that had the kind of snarky performance issues, it ultimately came down to baselining that server, installing all the firmware updates, all the driver updates, all the operating system updates, all the individual application updates on that server, and then monitoring it after that period of time. And you may still end up with some kind of aberrant error messages because servers are kind of notorious for throwing persistent, stupid error messages that mean nothing, and that can really be very distracting for the IT manager. And so that's why it's important that they partner with an architect like myself, because I can say, you know, that's normal, that happens on all servers, just basically ignore that. A lot of IT companies that do monitoring services will just write off bulk monitoring in general. They'll only monitor for specific events, which I really think that's a failed paradigm because it is impossible to have prescience about what events exist that you might need to monitor in advance. So really, a better approach to take is let's monitor everything. Let's take all the events. And for the events that we find to be spurious, then we will set up automation that when those event notifications come in for these spurious events, then they're just going to basically get whacked. You know, it's like an automatic delete function. So I hope you found this illuminating. please do go out there and do the updates on your systems, as you won't regret it.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
Support comes from Piasecki Althaus, providing unmatched, compassionate service since 1931, dedicated to your family.